Today's daf is daf Yud Dalad. So we got to the bottom of Yud Gimel and Beis, the missionary. Today's daf Yud Dalad, we're going to discuss the Indian of a Korah, you know, the actual dimensions and requirements of a Korah, and also that of a Lechi. So the Mishnah says, again, in the bottom of Yud Gimel and Beis, that HaKorah She'amru, the Korah that we've been speaking about up until this point, this beam, the din is HaKorah She'amru, has to be Rechava Kedei Lekabel Ariach, has to be wide enough whereby it could hold a type of brick. And how wide is a brick? V'ha'ariach, chatzi levena, shoshloshet tvachim. Now, ariach is half of the size of a brick of a levena, which is three tvachim, which makes ariach 1.5 tvachim. And daya, so that's one, has to be that wide. And daya l'korah, shetei rechava tevach. Now, the korah itself only needs to be one tefach, kedei lekabel ariach l'rachba. The understanding right now of the Mishnah is that a beam could hold something slightly wider than it. If it's too wide, it's going to just tip over. But if it's, the korah itself is one tefach, and the ariach is 1.5 tefach, and that means only a quarter of a tefach is hanging over the side, that beam will be strong enough and wide enough to hold the ariach on top of it. Then the Mishnah says further, it also has to be rechava kidei lecha ubria, rechava kidei lekaba ariach, ubria kidei lekaba ariach. Not only does it have to be wide enough to hold a brick, but also needs to be strong enough to be able to hold a brick. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rechava Afapi She'ein Bria. No, he agrees it must be wide enough, but he disagrees that it does not need to be strong enough. You could have any material, as we'll see, Hayisa Shakash Vishel Karnmik, made of straw or any type of reed, which is certainly very, very weak. As long as it's wide enough, a tevach wide, that's enough to be good for a korah. Rowan also, we're able to envision it, Ki'iluhu Shematech, as if it were to be metal and strong enough, even though Lamaisa, it's not actually strong enough. That's machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda again, whether it needs to be strong enough, but the width everybody agrees to. Akuma, if it's going to be bent, turned upwards, so let's say if it's flat and it goes up or it curves down into the mavoi or above the mavoi, one or the other, so that akuma, the din is roan osak ilu hipshuta, we're able to envision it as if it's straight, and we'll see some details in the Mishnah and the Gemara rather about this. And agul, if it's circle, it's determined circular. If the beam, up until now, we've been assuming the beam has been like a flat beam, like a cross beam. But let's say it was a circle, like a log. It's been a circle. So that circle as well, we could view that ra'un al-sakilu hu'hi murbas. We view it as if it's a square, which means we're looking for the diameter of that log to be at least a tefach long, just like if it were to be a straight, flat beam, has to be, we look at the tefach of it, and this is where we're going to learn this klal, that kol sheyesh bekefo shlosha tefachim yesh berochav tefach. Whenever the circumference, the hekef, is three tefachim, that means the diameter is going to be one tefach. So this is where we're going to learn the Indian of pi. There's a machlokes Rashi Tosis about how to calculate pi, how exact we have to be. We're going to just take it very simple today, that we're assuming pi is rounded off to just three. So whenever the diameter is 1 and the times pi, which is 3, you're going to have the circumference is going to be 3. So if the diameter is 2, that means the circumference is going to be 6 and so on. We're going to get into some great details of geometry in this today's daf. So that's the Mishnah. So Gemara now says in the top of daf, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Tefach.
So what's the Pesach and Korah completely different?
Completely different things. The Tefach, we said, the Tefach of the Korah needs to be only a Tefach. Tefach Umech Zabai. What do you mean? How can we say the korah is only a tefach wide if the actual ariach we're describing is a tefach and a half? Doesn't the korah also have to be a tefach and a half wide? And so the Gemara says, Kevan derochav lekabel tefach, since the beam is wide enough that it's able to hold a tefach of the ariach, the idach chatzi tefach milabein lepetin. The other half of the tefach of the ariach, what you're going to do is, you're going to put some type of cement on the betina, you can rub some cement on each side of the beam, extending it a little bit, a quarter of a tefach here, a quarter of a tefach on the other side, which will give you a total of 1.5 tefachim of the actual beam, so it can hold the brick on top of it nicely. But kaima, this way, the ariach will stay on top. So what we're learning from here is, it's not enough that the korah be a tefach, but there needs to be a little bit of cement on each of the sides in order to hold up the ariach. So Gemara now says, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Korah she'amru tzricha she'tehe bria kedei lekabel ariach. So he said the beam itself must be strong. It has to be some type of wood or metal that's able to hold a brick in theory. Not that you place a brick on top of the korah, but it has to be strong enough. So the beam has to be made of wood or metal. However, ma'amide korah, the nails or screws that hold in the beam does not need to be einan tzricha l'shei brian l'kabel kedei l'kabel korah v'ariach. It doesn't need to be strong enough. Just the beam itself. But you could hang the beam on very, light strings. They're able to hold up the beam. And if you were to put a brick on it and come crashing down, that's completely fine. As long as the beam is strong enough, in a case where I would put screws in, it's strong enough, we don't actually have to have l'maisa, the ma'amide kara, to be strong enough to hold the beam and the brick. So the Gemara then says, no. Rav Chista argues, Rav Chista Amar, echad zeh, ve'echad zeh tzvichin, shehu brian kedei l'kabel kara avariach. He argues and says that the beams and also the ma'amide, the screws and nails, must be strong enough whereby you can place a brick on it and it'll be able to sustain the weight of the brick. So Amar Rav Shesha says, Hiniach kore agabe hamavoy. A person places a beam on top of a mavoy. Uparas aleh machatzelis. And he lies over it. He hangs a mat over that beam. So you can't see the beam anymore. So higbia minakarka shlosha. And the now wall, the mat, it's suspended in the air. It's 3 tvachim off of the ground. So he points out, in such a case, kore ein kan umechita ke ein kan. There is no beam because you covered it up. And there is no wall either. Why? The Gemara explains, Kore Ein Kan, you've now removed the ability to use the beam because the Hamakasa, you've covered it up. The whole point of a Kore is to be a Heker. So once you've covered it, it's no longer a Heker. So now it's no longer a Kore. But what about a Mechita? Why can't this serve as a Mechita? Mechita Ein Kan, Dehavile Mechita Shagdiyim Bokim Bo. Since it's 3 tvachim off the ground, it's what we've called, there are a few criteria needed for a Mechita. Number one, it has to be at least 10 tvachim high. Number two is it can't be suspended 3 tvachim above the ground, because if a gedim, if goats could climb underneath and crawl underneath it, that's going to remove its ability to be a chita. A third thing is it has to be strong enough where the wind doesn't move it either. So since this at least it's 3 tvachim above the ground, it doesn't serve as a mechitza either. So Tanur Ban the Braisa says, Kora hayotze mikoso zeh. You have a beam that comes out from one side of the wall of the mavoi and doesn't touch the other side of the koso. And mechain shtei koros, or you have two beams, achas yotze mikoso zeh, ve'achas yotze mikoso zeh, each coming from a different wall, but they're in the same direction, facing each other, they're coming towards each other. Ve'einon nogos zo bazo, they're not touching each other, there's a bit of a space and a gap in between. If it's pachas mishlosha, if between the two beams is less than 3 tvachim, or the one long beam is just missing the other wall by less than 3 tvachim, so that's fine. Kora ein tach lahavi kora achars, you don't need to close the gap, because we know less than 3 tvachim is lavud, and that's sufficient to create a kara. But if it's larger than shlosha, larger than 3 tvachim, you can apply lavud, and tzarech lavi kara achar charis, you need to bring another beam in order to close that gap. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer, we saw his sheet already, that pachas me'arba, his definition of lavud is 4 tvachim, so he allows for a gap slightly less than 4 tvachim, then ein tzarech lavi kara achar, there's no need to bring another beam. However, Arba, if it's a 4 tvachim or longer or wider, then tzarech lavi korachar, so you do need to bring another beam in order to close the breach. V'chein, similarly, shtei koros hamatimos, you have 2 beams that are parallel to each other, right next to each other. Lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach. Neither one is actually wide enough on its own to hold ariach, because they're parallel to each other. So in mekablos ariach l'arach, but if you're able to, if they're close enough, whereby if I were to place a brick on top, both beams together could work in tandem to hold the brick. That's good enough, even though each individual one is too narrow, but since they're close enough, whereby I could lie a brick on top, that's actually good enough to be considered a good enough kara. Then, ain't tzarech l'havi kara acharis. But imlav, if they're not close enough to utilize or to place a brick on top of it, then tzarech l'havi kara acharis, you need to bring another beam in order to place between the 2 parallel beams. That's the Tana Kama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says that im mekabos ariach le'arko shlosha ein tzarech l'havi kara acharis. Let's look what he does. We're assuming this is a brick, right? The brick is 3 tvachim this way and 1 tefach that way, okay? So we're assuming that it has to be able to hold a beam like that, 1 tefach of width. And if the 2 parallel ones, if my both arms serve as a kara, if it's able to hold the 1 tefach, that means they're very close to each other, that works as well. But Mishim Gamliel says, no, if you even view it that way, turning the long way, the 3 tvachim way, even though my 2 beams are far away, and the 1 tefach would fall right through, if I twist it that way, and it could hold the 3 tefach length, like that would be good enough according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Again, he says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer im mekablos ariach l'arko, if it's able to withstand the length of the beam, the 3 tvachim length, shlosha, then ein tzarech l'havi karachars, you do not need to bring another beam. Vim lav, if it's not able to, the 3 tvachim is going to fall right through the gap, so then tzarech l'havi karachars, you need to bring another beam to close the breach. Achas l'mala v'achas l'mala. Let's say you have 2 parallel beams, one's higher up than the other one. So one's higher, one's lower. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rowan es ha'elyona, kilu hi lamata. You're able to view the higher one up as if it's lower down, the same wavelength as the lower one. And similarly, ves hatachtona kilu hi lamala, or the lower one as if it's higher. Even now that you can view both as being the same plane. That's all allowed. Uvavad, so long as shelo tihei he'olyona lamala me'eshim ama and tachtona lamata me'asara. Both beams, although they're different heights, as long as they're between, both of them are between 10 tvachim and 20 amos, you could view them both as being the same length and able to create this connection of two kavanos together. But if one's below 10 tvachim or one's above 20 amos, so then it cannot be part of that calculation. So Amar Abayi, Abayi says that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savrla Kavua Bechada, Upalagala Bechada. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to his father with respect to one halacha, but he argues on his father regarding another halacha. Savrla Kavua Bechada, he holds like his father who was Rabbi Yehuda rather, he held that what D'Islay Rowan, they're able to invoke that concept of Rowan, because Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, that's his father, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said that you could have a korah made of kash or shalkanim, even though that's not strong enough, you could do kilu rowan, rowan kilu smatechas. So the ability to rowan, the ability to envision something that's not reality, that he agrees to his father with. But that much is true. But palagaleh bechada, but Rabbi Yossi argues on his father, Rabbi Yehuda, regarding a different halacha. Dilu Rabbi Yehuda himself, the father, savar, he holds that's lamala me'esrim, that he held in the first Mishnah in the Masechta that a korah above 20 amos is actually acceptable. Remember that first Mishnah? But Rabbi Yossi argues and says, no, it needs to be within 20 amos. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, savar, besoch esim in, but it's lamala me'esrim low. Above 20 amos, it doesn't actually work. So this is where we see he agrees to the rowan of his father, but argues to the lamala me'esrim against his father. The Gemara now quotes from Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda omer rechava afapi shena bria. If the korah is wide enough, even though it's not strong enough, that's sufficient to create a korah. So masni la Rabbi Yehuda lichia barav. Rav Yehuda was teaching this to Chia, who's the son of Rav. We actually saw this type of structure a few days ago, that he was teaching Chia in front of his father, Rav, who was present. Kameh de Rav, in front of Rav. He taught as follows, rechava afapi shena bria. He taught the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the korah is wide enough, even though it's not strong enough, it's good enough. So Amar Lei, so the father, Rav, says, that's not true. I say, teach my son the correct reading, like the Tanakhama, that should be Rechava Ubriya, that must be both wide and strong enough to work as a Korah. V'hamar Rabbi Eli Amar Rav, Rechava Arba Avapi Sheinu Briya. But don't we have in your name, Rav, don't you yourself say that if it's the beam is wide, four tvachim wide, then you don't need to be strong? So how come you're giving me a hard time that I need to teach your son that it needs to be strong when I have a statement in your name that the beam does not need to be strong enough to hold a ariach, to hold a brick? So he explains back that rechava arba shiny. When the beam is wide, four tvachim wide, that's different. In other words, when the korah is 1.5 tvachim wide, so it also needs to have the bria, the strength. But if you're going to make the korah very wide, where it's four tefachim wide, then you actually don't need the bria. So that's the difference. So the Tanakhama holds that the only time you need bria strength is when it's narrow, but when it's four tefachim wide, then you don't need the bria as well. That's the different types of korahs.
So between less than four tefachim you hold, it's not bria, it's not good.
Exactly.
At least four.
Exactly. So the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, Hayisa shel kash, if it's made of straw. Rabbi Yehuda says, and we view it rowan also ki'ilu hishimateches. So my kamash lamutzah chiddush, darmina rowan. We learn from here that that you're able to envision something that's not really true. You're able to do something in halacha, view the kash as if it's mateches. Behind you, we already learned this before, that when he said rechava afal pi sheina bria, that Rabbi Yehuda says, it's wide, even though it's not strong enough, because we row and kilu, we can envision something. So why is he giving examples of a kash and a shakanim? That's the same exact thing he just said above. So Gemara says, no. Mal the same. If you just had the din, that a beam needs to be rechava, afal pishein abriya, that's only true, perhaps, mal the same, arminan shlobamina, lo arminan, maybe only rather, mal the same, bimina, in the same min. I mean, if I have a very thin plank of wood, so even though that plank of wood were to crack, I put a brick on it, but it's still wood, so I can view the brick rather the wood as being thicker and stronger, I can envision a min being expanded. But to say a min shakash, which would never be strong enough to hold a brick, so maybe I can go from one min to the other min. So again, mal the same, I would have thought only bimina, I could envision that material being bigger than it really is. That's amina, that's when I say it. But shalobamina, to take from kash, to view it as metal, to a different min entirely, maybe lo amrina, you wouldn't say this. Kamash Malan, Rabbi Yehuda teaches that even then, jumping from one type to another type of material, we actually can invoke Rowan. So Gemara now says, from the Mishnah, Kuma, Rowan asak ilu hipshuta. If you have a beam that's not flat, there's a curve, it goes up an arch, or it goes down, it dips a little bit, and then straightens out. So the Mishnah said that's actually acceptable. Pshita, of course. Why wouldn't it be acceptable? So Gemara says, no, Kamash Malan, because why is it acceptable? The Havamin is, the reason why it's a Pashup, because Rabbi Yehuda always says Rowan. Rowan means you can always change reality. Just like you could view Kash as being Matechas, you could view a curve as being straight. Right? There's no end to the ability to fantasize about a Korah. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that could Rabbi Zera. Dama Rabbi Zera, Zera holds that he, Besocha Mavoy, Vakmu Misa, Chutzal Mavoy. If the straight beam is within the Mavoy, and the curve actually goes outside the beam, which means either it dips below three tefachim, or rather deeper in, it goes outside where it's flat. It's going like this, it's on horizontal, the curve goes that way, outside the Mavoy, hanging over the Rishis HaRabim, so it's not in the Mavoy itself. And he says, or it's a situation, Hibasoch Asim, the beam is within 20 amos the height, and Akmu Mese, the curve, goes Lamala, goes upwards above the Malam Esim. He Lamala Me'esar Tvachim, or maybe the beam is above 10 Tvachim, Bakmu Mise, the curve dips below Lamata Me'esara. These are three different examples whereby the curve is outside the domain, either too high, too low, or just outside the Mavoy itself. All these three things, Rowan, we could envision it, Kol She'ilun Yinatel Akmu Misa, if you were to take away the curve, just cut it off as if it's not there. Ve'ein bein zelazesh shlosha. And now what you have left is two beams that are just suspended. If the difference, the distance between those two beams ignoring the curve were to be less than shlosha, ein tzarach lahavi kar acheres. You do not need to bring another beam to close that gap. Vimlav, however, if you do remove that curve and the distance between the two beams are greater than three tefachim, the difference would be tzarach lahavi kar acheres. You would need to bring another beam. So Gemara said, Hanami Pshita, that's also obvious, of course. We already know it didn't love it. Why would the curve being present tell us that the loved wouldn't apply? So Gemara says, Hibasoch Mavoy, Vachmu Misa, Chutza Mavoy, Itzrichle. That Chiddush, where the beam is straight and the curve goes out over Rosh Hashanah, that way. So there's a Havmin, the Chiddush there is, Mal the same, Lechash should have been a concern since the beam actually extends over. Rosh Hashanah Dilma, Lechash Dilma Asilam Shuchai Base, a person might end up carrying from the Mavoy within that curved beam, but he's really standing with Rosh Hashanah at this point. So maybe we should Aser using such a Mavoy, of such a Korah, Kamash Malan, that you're able to use it. As long as the beams, ignoring the curve, is with three Tvachim within each other, that would be acceptable Korah, utilizing the mechanism of Lovut. Because it's smaller than three Tvachim, it still serves as a hacker. It's still a beam, the beams are still there. So the Gemara then says, Agula Rowan Asak Iluhu Murubah. So you have a circle that we view as if it's a square. So that was the case of a log, a circular log that goes across. It's not a flat beam, but it's a circle log going across. So we need to have the distance of it to be able to hold the Ariach in theory. So we said if we could measure the circumference to be three tvachim, that means the diameter is one tevach, and that's wide enough to serve as a proper korah. So Gemara says, "Hatulamli, what's the need to teach me this chiddush?" With Rowan also kilu murbas. We already taught Rowan seven times in the Mishnah to tell me again. We view the circular log as a square, as a straight log. What's the chiddush? We know Rowan already. So Gemara says, "Seifa itzirchle." The seifa it's leading up to that chiddush of kol sheyesh be kefa shlosha tefachim yesh ba rochav tefach. He wanted to just set the stage to teach us the chiddush, the concept of pi in halacha, that the pi, we view pi as three, so whenever, again, the circumference is whatever the amount is, divide by three, that will give you the diameter, or vice versa. Whatever the diameter is one thing, you multiply by three in order to get the proper circumference, basic geometry. So Gemara now wants to know, okay, minahan emile. We know everything in science in the world, there's a source of the Torah. So if pi is really a true thing, there must be a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh that proves the point. So the Gemara explains, I'll tell you exactly where it's from. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, the pasuk teaches us in Malachim, when Shlomo HaMelech was building the base of Migdash, Vayas is Hayam Mutak, he made this sea, this water, a big mikvah. We'll see how many mikvahs, how big it was in just a moment. But he made this Yam Mutak, Eser Ba'ama Misvaso Adsvaso Agul Saviv. It was 10 amos from one end to the other end. In other words, the diameter from one point straight to another point would be 10 amos. It was a ugel saviv, and it was a circle around it. The chamesh ba'amo kamasa was 5 amos high. That's how deep this water was. The kav shloshim ba'amo yisov oso saviv. And the circle, the circumference, was 30. So in other words, the diameter is 10 amos, and the circumference was 30 amos. So we see that ratio, 1 to 3, that's how you get the pi is 3. That's how you get the, that's the source of this. This is the Yam Shel Shlomo, it's called. So Gemara says, v'ha'ika sfaso. But what about the sfaso? What about the outside rim holding the water, holding the mikveh together? Wasn't that also something? We were just measuring the inside. But what about the outside? That was the metal, whatever is made of the gold on the outside, holding it together. Wasn't that also an additional amount as well? And the Gemara says that no. That lip that went around holding the water in place, Amar of Papa, Svaso Svas Perach Shoshan Ksibe, it describes the lip of it being very thin, like a rose, very, very, very thin. It says the pasuk V'avyo Tefachu Svaso Kemase Svas. The thickness was a Tefach, but the actual Svas, the lip going around this pool, was Kemase Svas Kos Perach Shoshan Apaim Bas Yachu. We'll get back to the Shir V'Apaim in just a moment, but it was very thin, like the petals of a rose, in which case it wasn't really part of the calculation. That's the answer. We're talking about the inside. The Gemara said, well, in the end of the day, still Ha'ika Mashu, it's still something. Even the rose has some amount of thickness to it, so we should at least measure that amount. And the Gemara says, no, Ki Kachashiv Migavai Kachashiv. We're not talking about the circumference on the outside, rather the circumference of the inside, ignoring the lip that goes around the pool, but the actual water itself had a circumference of 30. Okay, fine.
So,
it could be. Maybe that'll come out. Possibly. Maybe. You have to figure out the math. They talk about the math. Right, maybe. Who knows? So either way, the Gemara says that 30 amos by 10 amos, that's the ratio that we're working with. So the Gemara says that Tanya, Rabbi Chiya had a brisa that taught us as follows. The Yam She'asa Shlomo, which is, again, this big sea of Shlomo, the big mikvah. Haya machzik mea v'chamishim mikvah mataro. It was able to fit 150 mikvahs in there. It was equal to 150 mikvahs. That's big. So I'm going to do a little bit math outside, and then we'll be able to appreciate inside. Because the way the Gemara does math, it's always all works out the same. It's geometry. But the way we would have thought of it, it's always a little bit different than their angle that they go at. So let's just explain it quickly outside how you get the 150 and what the kasha will be. So 150 amos, 150 mikvahs. So a mikvah, we'll see in just a moment, is 3 amos. It's 3, 1 by 1 and 3 amos high. We'll see the Gemara is going to bring that. So each mikvah is 3 amos. So now it's each three amos is a mikvah, is the volume of a mikvah. So what would come out now is that for 150 mikvahs, I mean there's 450 amos of water in here.
Okay,
cubic amos, exactly. So the volume is 450. For each each mikvah is 3. I'm going to do a cubic, but 3 cubic amos. And then if there are 150 in there, that means 450 amos of water we're talking about here. Now the problem is, the Gemara says, if... Now, if the mikvah of Yam Shel Shlomo was 10 amos wide, that was the diameter. So Gemara first thought of squares. They didn't think the difference between circles and squares yet. So of squares, 10 amos by 10 amos is 100. And the height is 5 amos we saw in the pasuk. So that's 500. So we have 500 amos of water that we're talking about, not 450 amos of water that we're talking about. And the Gemara is going to say, no, of course, a circle holds less water than a square. So we end up getting, the circle is 450 amos. That's what we're trying to build up to. So let's just see that inside now. So again, Tani Rabbi Chiya teaches us that Yam She'asa Shlomo Hayamachzik Mea V'chamishim Mikvah Taro is able to hold 150 sizes of mikvahs. Michtit, so let's do a little bit of math. Gemara says, Kama Havya, how much is a size of a mikvah? Arba Amsa is the size of a mikvah. Kidetani, the Brisa quotes the Pasuk V'rachatz as Bisar B'mayim, B'mei Mikvah. You have to enter into a mikvah, put the water, the body into a mikvah. Kol besaro, the entire body must immerse into the mikvah. Maim shekol gufa ola, what's the size of water that the entire body could fit in? Behen, kamehen, how large is that? Ama al ama, birum shalosh amos. One by one ama in the area, and with a height of 3 amos, that volume would be able to fit a person. So that's 3 cubic amas would be the shear for every 40 sa. V'shiaru chachamim aramei mikvah arbam sa. So they calculated that turns into 40 sa, is equivalent to 3 cubic amas. Now kama havalu, so how many now square cubic amas would there be in the Yam Shel Shlomo? It must be chamesh mea garmide. Garmide is the amas. So 500 amas, because we said above, if the diameter of Yam Shel Shlomo was 10, so right now, forgetting how a circle works. So one size, 10 amas, And the other side is 10 amos. So 10 by 10 is 100 amos of area. 5 amos high would be times 5 would be 500 amos. So there's 500 amos, cubic amos, in the Yam Shur Shlomo. And now, the Gemara does different things. These are actually pretty good techniques for those who, you know, in terms of math. These are good techniques for, like, advanced math. The Gemara uses it now. So the Gemara said, what's the ratio of amma to the Tlas Mea, Mea? So for every 300 square cubic amas, you have Mea. You have 100 mikvahs, right? Because every mikvah is 3 amas. So in 300 amas, we have 100 mikvahs. So now, Ulemea v'chamishim, to 150 square amas now, you're going to have 50 mikvahs. Chamishim, 50 mikvahs. That's a ratio, right? It's 1 to 3 is a ratio of amas to mikvahs. Okay? So if the 300 amos, that's 100 mikvahs. 150 amos, that's 50 mikvahs. Okay? So now if we have arba mevachamishim sagi, if you want to try to get 150 mikvahs, that means all you need is 450 amos to get to 150 mikvahs. Hopefully you followed all that a little bit. So it's 1 to 3 is the ratio of, again, amos to mikvah. So, we just said that our Yam Shur Shlomo was 500 amos. You only need 450 amos to create 150 mikvahs. To which the Gemara gives the obvious answer that, honey, mili, this is only true beribu. When dealing with a square, so then 10 by 10 is 100 by 500, 5 height, that's 500 amos. But the Yam Shur Shlomo wasn't a square. It was a circle. And Yam Shur Shlomo was an agahaya, and therefore it's going to be less. It won't be able to hold, even though it's 10 amos would be the diameter, it's not going to be a full 500 amos, it's going to be less than that. So how much less will it be? So how many amos were actually in the Yam Shur Shlomo? So let's figure this out. Michti. Kama meruba yeser al ha'agul. How much greater is a square to that of a circle? So it ends up being, you could check this in math a little bit, but it ends up being a revia, a quarter less. So in other words, if I have 100 amas in square footage in a circle of the same diameter, I would have 75. It's always a quarter less. If it's 200, I'd have 50 less. It'd be 200 to 150. That's a ratio. A quarter less of the square footage. Again, you could test that with math if you like. Whatever it turned out to be, you could test it out. It'll be pretty much pretty close. So Gemara says, okay. So now, if kama meruba yes al ha'agul, how much greater is a square to that of a similar circle? It's revi, it's a quarter less. So now la'arba mea, if it were to be a square footage of 400, so then 400 circle would be a square foot of 300 because it's always a quarter less. And now in 300 amas, that gives us meh, that gives it 100 mikvahs. Because remember, it was for every 3 amas was 1 mikvah. So again, a square footage of a square would be 400 amas. If you have a circle within that, that would be 300 amas. And 300 amas turns into the equivalent of 100 mikvahs. So that's a ratio that we're working with. So now, lemeah, if I were to have 100 square amas, so now the equivalent circle would be a quarter less. That would be 75, right? 25 is a quarter. 25 less, that would be 75 amas in the circle, and then 75 to mikvahs, it goes 1 to 3, it would create 25 mikvahs. So again, in Lemea, if I have 100 square foot, the Esrim v'chamisha, that would allow for 25 mikvahs to fit within there. So Hani Mea v'esrim v'chamisha havalu. So it turns out is, the Yam Shur Shlomo was 125 mikvahs. So now let's figure out the math for a second. So if we had we figured out that the Yam Shur Shlomo was all a circle. So now we said, if it's 10 this way, it's 10 amos this way, and 10 by that way, 100 amos, and then the height is 500 amos. So now a quarter of that would bring you down to 125 less, okay? That brings you to 375 of amos in the circle. Now that divided by 3 to make mikvahs, that ends up being 125 mikvahs only, not 150. Everyone with me on this math, I hope, a little bit. It's a little challenging. Okay. So now, the Gemara is going to answer. It wasn't that the Yam Shur Shlomo was circle from top to bottom. The top two layers was circular, but the bottom three amos were actually square. That combination will give you a nice hybrid whereby you're going to have a total of 450 amos in totality. Meaning, if it was all square from top to bottom, that would be a total of 500 amos. If it was circular from top to bottom, that would be a total of 375 amos. The Gemara says, no, only the top two amas were circular, the bottom three amas were square. That gives you a total of 450 amas, which translates to 150 mikvahs. So see that inside? The Gemara says, Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Yam Shasha Shlomo, Shalosh Amos Tachtonos. The bottom three Amos of height of the Yam Shlomo was Mirubos, were square, while the Shaim El Yonos, the two upper Amos, were Agulos, were circular, and that gives you an even number of 450 Amos in total, which again translates to one-third, which is 150 mikvahs. That was where he got this from. So now the Gemara says, Nihi d'ipcha, some more, so how do you know part was circular, part was square? Where's that? Tell me in the pasuk. How do you know this? Nihi d'ipcha lamatis amis. Certainly the opposite, you couldn't say this fossil agul. You couldn't say that the top, the bottom was circular and the top was square, because the pasuk says svaso agul, the top lip was certainly circular. So the top definitely must be circular. Ella emachada. But maybe only the top amo was circular. Maybe the bottom four amos were still square. Who says the top two were circular? Maybe only the top one amo was circular. So Gemara says, lo sakadaitach, you could not have suggested that only the top amo was circular. The lower four amos were actually square. Why not? Because we have another pasuk, dichsiv, apaim bas yachil. It was 2,000 bas. That was the Yam Shlomo. What does that mean? What's a bas? Bas kamahavya, it's a measurement. Shalosh sin. Dichsiv, it's three sin, based on another pasuk, maiser bas mna kor. A bas is a tenth of a kor. Now, a kor is 30 sa, so that means a tenth is three. So a bas is a third, is a tenth of a kor, which is a three sa. So each one's three sa. So now, apaim bas, 2,000 bas means 6,000, right? 2,000 and bas is 3. So apai bas means 2,000 times 3 sum is 6,000 sa. Havile shisa apai gridi, which is 6,000 sa. If you do the math of 40 sa, so 40 sa to get to 6,000 sa is 40 times 150. So 40 sa, each mix is 40 sa, times 150 mikvahs gives you a total of 6,000 sa. So that's how we knew the only way to get 150 mikvahs in there were to be, if you'd say the two top amos were circular, while the bottom three were square. So that's the Gemara. So that's how we figured this out. A bit complicated, but hopefully that was somewhat smooth.
It's part of the Tanakh, or is it?
That was his, he had a brisa, he had a Masorah.
It's a Masorah.
Yeah, Masorah. So, but it works out with the Pesukim. It was based on the Pesuk here, no other way to fit it in to get 60 sa without that. So now the Gemara said, wait a second. V'haksiv machzik batim shloshes alafim. So doesn't it say that a batim, which is a bas, is able to hold 3,000, three alpine, which is 6,000 sa? One second, no, hold on. Right, it's able to hold three alpine bas, which is ends up being 9,000, I think, which is 200 and 25 mikvahs. It's a different shear here. I'm not sure how the shear works. And machzik batim shloshes alafim. And is there a Rashi that explains how this calculation works for a second? Hold on.
It says 3,000.
This would be shloshes alafim. Right, before it said 2,000, right? Then now this is 3,000. Before he said bas, it's kama, it was alpine bas. And now we're saying it's shloshes alafim, 3,000. So this is much larger. We see a basket larger than what we said above. So Gemara says, no, hahu lagucha, that's when it's a dry measure. Right? We know if you're getting a liquid, the liquid cannot be held in a cup more than what's in the liquid. If you put a flour, the flour could go above the cup size as well a little bit. So when you're filling up that size with something dry, a gucha, a solid, that could go above the measure. So that's what it means. Bas, if it's a liquid like water, it's only a paim. If you're filling that same measurement with something that's a solid, that goes even to a 3,000, 50% larger. So Amar Bai says, Shema Amina, we learn from here, Hai gucha tilsahava, that gucha is able to go a third greater. Utsna Nami, the Mishnah says as well, Shida, Teva, Migdal, Kaveris, Akash, different sizes of boxes, the Kaveris Hakanim, Ubor Svina Al-Khazandrius, or some type of pit that was in a boat, Ava Pish Yeshlehen, Shulaim, even though there is some bottom to hold what's in it, Behain Machzikas, Arbam Sa, Balach, they're able to hold 40 sa of water, Shehain Lekaraim Beyavish, which is 60 sa for a dry measurement, Torin. Means talking about there, a kli, we know a kli is makabel tumah. But if the kli is so large, it's able to hold the measurement that if you were to fill it up with water or solid, you couldn't move it, it's no longer considered a kli. So that's what it's talking about. But we see from here the measurement that it could hold 40 sa liquid to 60 sa of a yavesh. So you see the ratio is one third more is how much a yavesh is to that of a liquid, like we just saw before in this Yam Shel Shlomo. Now the new mission. The mission tells us in Yudal and Beis. Now, without all discuss the whole concept of a korah, let's get back to a lechi now. The Mishnah says, L'chayayin she'amru, we speak about it, we've been speaking about L'chayim up until this point a lot, so Govan Asar Tvachim must be 10 Tvachim high, V'rachban V'avyan Kolshu. The width and the depth could be a tiny amount, it could be a tiny little piece of a lechi, that's sufficient. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rachman Yeshosha Tvachim, he thinks that the width must be 3 Tvachim, but the depth could be a Kolshu. So L'chayayin she'amru, L'chayim that we spoke of, it says 2, L'chayayim is 2. So Gemara's Medayik, Lema Tanan Stama, let's see our Stam Mishnah here on Daf Yudalat Mabez, must be Kirebi Eliezer, the Amar we heard, we saw a Shita earlier, L'chayayin Ba'inan, that at each end of the Mavo you need 2 L'chayayim, not simply 1. From the fact that the Mishnah says L'chayayin, the 2 L'chayim, must be like Rabbi Eliezer, that you need 2 L'chayim, not simply 1. Gemara says, no, not true. My L'chayayin, what does the Mishnah mean when it says L'chayayin? It means L'chayayin Dalm in general. When we speak of L'chayayin, L'chayayin needs to be this size. But it doesn't mean that every Mavo requires 2 L'chayayin. It means Lechis, just saying Lechis. So Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, Kara, the previous Mishnah, we should have said, Nami to say Koros. It should have spoke about Koros in general. From the fact that it says Kara in the singular, in contrast to L'chayayin in the multiple, so it must be my Koros, Koros to Alma. So it must be that L'chayayin is Dafka. So Gemara says, no. Hachi Kamar. Those l'chaim about which Rabbi Elazar and Chacham argue, govan asar tvachim rochon avyan kolshu. Not to say we're passing like either one, but that subject that they were arguing about, these are the dimensions that we're describing. The kama kolshu, what's a kolshu? So tani Rabbi Chia afilu kichut hasarbel, even as thin as a string that goes around to hold like a shirt together, that's as thin as it could be. There's no sheer kolshu, mamish is as small as you can imagine. The Tana, the Brisa says, also lechi lechetzi mavoi. Let's say you put a lechi, not at the end of the mavoi, where it enters into the Rishis Rabim, but you put a lechi halfway into the mavoi, so the din is, ein lo ela chetzi mavoi. You're only able to build half a mavoi, and rather you only utilize half the mavoi up until that lechi. Beyond that lechi is no longer usable, even though it's within the mavoi. Pshita, of course. So Gemara says, no, ela ema yesh lo chetzi mavoi. The chiddush is not where it's limited. The chiddush is that you're able to use even that first half as a chiddush. Why? You might think that only the lechi could work if it's at the end of the mavoi adjacent to Rishis Rabim, and if it's placed anywhere in the middle, it's actually worthless. Kamashlan, that you actually do get to use whatever is within that lechi. That's the chiddush. Gemara says,
first part.
Hanami pshita. This is also obvious. Why would you think you couldn't use it? Gemara says, now the same, what would you have thought? Lechash dimaasi lashimushe bekula. Maybe the thought is, if you put a lechi in the middle, if you could use the first half, maybe one would think you could use the second half as well, and therefore you should prohibit any usage of this. Kamashpul, that no. Once you see the lechi that's halfway there, people will be reminded that only that first half, that front half of the mavoi is permissible, but beyond that would not be. So Gemara now says, Amar Rava, asa lechi lemavoi vigbiya minakarka shlosha. If a person builds a lechi to a mavoi and he raises it 3 tvachim above the ground, shifligu min hakosel shlosha, or he separates the lechi 3 tvachim away from the wall, lo asa v'lo kum, it's worthless. It must be within 3 tvachim of the ground and also within 3 tvachim of the wall of the mavoi. V'afilu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Damar, he's the one who holds that Amrina Lavud, even with the 4 tvachim, he has a bit of an expanded shiv Lavud, hani mili lamal, it's only true when it comes to the kor above. Avalamata, when it comes to the ground, being adjacent to the ground, kaven de havia mechita shagdiyin bokenbo lo kamar. Since a gedi could crawl underneath that lachi, it's not a good lachi. Not because the tefachim is not lovud. He holds it is lovud. But there's another problem here of the gediim shabokim bo, that they could, again, undermine the usage, the function of the mechitza. To finish off the daf, now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Rachman shlosha tefachim. Rabbi Yossi says that no, he argued in the Tanakhama, while the Tanakhama says that the width and depth, the dimensions of the lechi could be a kolshu, he felt that it should be at least 3 tefachim wide. So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mashmuel, ein halacha, Rav Yosi, lo behilmi, velo belechayayim. We don't pass like Rav Yosi, not in the halachas of Hilmi. Hilmi is making some type of vegetable mixture on Shabbos. He felt it was usher to do so on Shabbos, and the Chacham permitted doing so on Shabbos. We go against Rav Yosi. It's soaking, it's pickling, it's some type of vegetables. Rav Yosi asked it. We don't hold like him. We allow one to make this on Shabbos. And we also don't hold of him with regards to lechi, that we don't require 3 tefachim, even a kol shu would be sufficient. So Amar le Rav Huna Barar Chanina beHilmi Amislan. So granted, we understand. We already heard by Hilmi. We don't pass like Rabbi Yosi, but by the Chayayin Loma Martalan. But you didn't tell us this din by the Chayayin. Is this really true? So Gemara says Maishna beHilmi the Pligi Rabbanala. L'chai nami pliga rabbanala. Why is there a difference? What do you mean? What's the chiddush? Just like Tanakama argues in the Mishnah Shabbos by Hilmi, the Tanakama also argues, the Chachama also argue by l'chayayin. So why would you think we would not hold like Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi by l'chayayin? So Amar Lei, Rav Huna says, Shaini l'chayayin mishim dekai Rabbi Kavase. It's not just Stam Rabbi Yossi versus Tanakama. Rabbi himself holds like Rabbi Yossi that you require three tefachim. So shouldn't that then bolster Shitas Rabbi Yossi and indicate we should pask like Rabbi Yossi in the case of l'chayayin? So Rav Rehume Masi Hachi, he taught it as follows. He taught Amar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishvei Derav. Ein halacha Rabbi Yossi lo behilme lo b'lechayin. So he passed in the same way. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi in either of these cases. Amrilei, they said to him, Amris, did you really say this? Amr lehu, lo, I didn't say this. Amr Rabbi says, halukim. He quotes Hashem's name. Amr, you said this. Ugamir nalei minei. We learned this from you. So my time of kahadabe. So why did you retract? Mishim de Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. We have this invoked many times. Rabbi Yossi was very thorough, in depth. He understood the shorish of everything, and therefore, oftentimes Rabbi Yossi is up against even Chachamim. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. So initially, we have a halacha in a rabbim yachve rabbim halacha rabbim. But when it's up against Rabbi Yossi, oftentimes we'll say Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo, and we pass like him. So Amr Le Rava bar Rav Chanan Labai Hilchas Amai. Bottom line, what do we do? What's the Psach Halacha? Do we require Lechi to be a Kolshu or a Three Tvachim? How do we paskin? So Amr Le Rava bar Rav Chanan Labai Hilchas Amai. Amr Le Pok Chazi Mai Amadavar. Go out and see what we're doing. Meaning we don't know how to paskin. What's the Minhag Olam? Go look at people's Lechis, see how they're building it. Are they building it like Rabbi Yossi or are they building it like Tanakama? So Ikeda Masila, others teach this whole dialogue on a completely different topic. It's also Gemara and Brachos. Aha, as on the following topic. Hashos emayim letzma, a person drinks water in order to satiate, he's parched, so he's thirsty. So in order to quench his thirst, he drinks water. So that's when you say a bracha omer, shahakol niyabidvaro. That's a bracha you say. Rabbi Tarfon omer, you say a barina fashos, rabos v'chasonon al chamash barasa. So there's a bit of machlokas, what bracha they're arguing about, but pashup shat, mostly shonim, that Rabbi Tarfon says the bracha rishona should be a bore nefashos. That's the machlokas. So what do you say? How do you paskin? So we know what to paskin. But the Gemara asks, Amar Le Rav Chanan Labaye, Hilchas Amai, how do you paskin? Do you paskin like Tanakama? That's a shahakol. Or do you paskin like Rabbi Tarfon? That's a bore nefashos. So what do you say back? Amar Le Pok Chazi Mai Amadavar. Go out and see what people are doing, and whatever they're doing, that's going to indicate what the halacha is. That Minhag Olam is what the halacha lamaisa is. Okay, we'll stop here again. I'm not here the next 2 days, but I hope to have a chance to